This is Karen Lyle of SalesPort Talk. Isabel Yoski, the leading woman in the Vendée Globe, was forced to quit the race on Saturday after damage to the keel of her boat. This is an interview just immediately before that.
I'm exhausted. I haven't slept a lot. I have slept maximum 2 hours this night. The boat was sailing upwinds with, big waves, and it's always crashing in the waves. It's very, very uncomfortable, and I'm pretty much stressed all the time to keep my boat in good conditions and in a good shape, which is not easy when you have these conditions.
Weather going to change soon?
The weather is going to change. It has been now upwind, and now it's I'm sailing reaching, and the boat is still crashing in the waves. And then I will be sailing downwind in a few hours, which will totally change. It will be probably more comfortable at the beginning, and then I will have very, very big winds. So it will be probably stressing, because I might have, 40 knots, maybe 50 knots of wind, and I don't know how to avoid this. It's quite impossible since the low is passing over my route. It's coming from the east, from the west, and going to the east, and I don't know where to go to avoid all this wind. I think it's going to change fast and will be really difficult, and I'm just looking forward to be maybe in 2 days after this.
What motivates you in your head all the time? What's your philosophy?
It changes all the time. Right now, my philosophy is I need to sleep because I'm exhausted. 1 hour ago, I was very angry because the boat conditions were really, really bad. And 1 day ago, I was so much happy that I'm been out of the Pacific Ocean and that I have found the Atlantic back, and just happy to be on sea. And so it changes all the time, and I just right now I don't know exactly how fast I can be, so I do my best and I will see, but I have no idea what's going to happen in the next weeks.
Are you generally a very positive person?
Yes, I am a positive person, but when it's difficult, I say it's difficult. I don't do as if it was not difficult, and I don't say just to make the people happy. No, it's all right. I'm okay. I'm not doing that. I don't like to lie. When it's difficult, I say, and I'm really not happy about that, and then I'm back to good conditions, and I'm very happy, you know.
All right, thank you so much, and welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, coast to coast and around the world on American Forces Radio Network. It's time for our weekly SalesportTalk.com segment, and co-hosting this with me from SalesportTalk.com is Karen Lyle. Karen, how are you, my friend?
Well, Rick, my friend, I am doing very well. I have to say that I've been really thinking about Isabel Yoski in the Vendée Globe, who was in that very tough weather spot, and her keel got damaged, and she was the seventh person to drop out of the race. You know, the ocean is sometimes quite formidable.
It is. And speaking of American Forces Radio Network, it's our pleasure to welcome to the show United States Coast Guard Chief Warrant Officer Leo Zappawa, 25 years active duty and assigned to the Coast Guard Sector San Francisco as a command duty officer in the Coast Guard Command Center. Leo, thanks for being on the show. Man, we understand this time of year, the king tide and waves 30 feet high. Some people in the public, they want to take a look at it, but it's, as Karen was just saying, Mother Nature is pretty indifferent. So how do you guys handle all this and trying to keep the public informed?
Hi, Karen. Hi, Rick. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with you and your audience today. I'm really passionate about safety on the water near the seashore, and it's a real honor to speak with you about such important safety information. it's really my hope today that your audience will take what I have to say to heart, and collectively we can prevent a future search and rescue case from ever happening. So you had talked about king tides. So that's a non-scientific name, according to NOAA, that's used to describe exceptionally high tides. And these higher-than-normal tides occur during a new or full moon during specific seasons around the country, such as the winter along the west coast of the United States. For San Francisco, the normal tidal range is about 5 feet from the high tide to the low tide. And during king tides, we see a range of 8 to 8.5 feet. And this increased tidal range can result in coastal flooding. And, of course, some of the more drastic weather we've experienced here in the Bay Area and along the California coast recently. As you had talked about, we've had a break from the rain recently, and I understand that during these difficult times with regards to COVID, a lot of folks are maintaining their mental wellness through exercise. And the majesty and the power of the ocean are oftentimes inviting places to go and see and be socially distant. Unfortunately, with these larger waves we're experiencing along the California coast, it can also be very easy to become complacent and not pay attention to what are commonly known as sneaker waves, or waves of higher magnitude that are infrequent and unexpected at a coastal area. All of us who have enjoyed time near our beautiful area beaches and seashore will see posted signs placed by local officials, and when the weather is expected to be adverse. And I would ask your listeners to heed those warnings and take them very seriously. Many of us in the Bay Area woke up on the 11th, and we saw a report that took place in Santa Cruz, where 12 children who were part of a sailing club, their boats were overturned by heavy seas there in the Monterey Bay. And luckily, all of these children were quickly rescued by authorities in Santa Cruz, who had smartly increased their water patrols because of this ocean event. Anytime folks go out in the ocean, we encourage folks to always wear a Coast Guard-approved life jacket. The ones that are orange with retroreflective tape make it a lot easier for folks who are doing the rescuing to locate those people in distress. This particular case was resolved without any Coast Guard involvement, and I'm told that all those children were wearing life jackets, and other than being a little bit wet and cold, they're in good condition. Unfortunately, we have also had some tragic search and rescue cases occur along the California coast in recent weeks. Most notably were the two search and rescue cases that occurred on the 10th of January at Pescadero Beach State Park and at Point Bonita, and a third that occurred on January 3rd at Blind Beach north of Bodega Bay. In total, 5 lives were lost in these cases. Very tragic. And in all of those cases, those aforementioned sneaker waves overwhelmed the folks on the beach and took them out to sea. And as we all know, anyone who's dipped a toe in the ocean here, it's very cold. It's only about 53 degrees the water temperature. So it's very easy to go into cold water shock and end up drowning, especially in such a turbulent environment. The ocean this time of year, it almost looks like a washing machine. And although it's very beautiful to view, it's also very dangerous. I want to really convey to your listeners that although the ocean is beautiful on any day, when the seas are high, like they have been recently, folks should respect how mighty the ocean truly is. Never turn their back on the ocean when enjoying the beach or seashore on foot. If you're going out on the water, either on a surfboard, a sailboat, or powerboat, dress for that cold water environment and the cold ocean environment, and wear a life jacket at all times. While there are several Coast Guard-approved life jackets, I always recommend a Type 1, as they're designed to turn most people, even if they're unconscious, face up in the water. In closing my initial remarks, the Coast Guard is just one piece of a greater effort of valued partnerships, and I'd like to take a little bit of time to recognize the hardworking folks the Coast Guard works with every day at the city, county, state levels in California, and of course, our federal partners. And finally, the Coast Guard is always hiring young men and women, and I can think of few organizations with such a rich tapestry of storied histories. 230 years of service to our nation. And we in the Coast Guard truly live the service motto of Semper Paratus, or always ready. I joined in 1996 and planned on only doing 4 years, and now in the blink of an eye, it's been 25. I'm happy to answer any questions you or your listeners may have.
Well, Officer Zabala, I'm so grateful for you to come and share this message with us. And our listeners, we have about 82 to 100 million listeners in 168 countries. So not everybody has an ocean front, but of course there are ocean fronts on every continent and around every island. And the weather varies depending upon where they are. And we also have our our young men and women who are serving in the Navy and the Coast Guard, who listen to the Armed Forces radio network that is part of our broadcast area. And so what I would ask is, if you were going to share a message internationally, is there something that you would like to say about your personal feelings about the ocean and the respect that we should have for it?
Thank you, Karen, for that question. Yes, of course. I would say that regardless of where folks live, that safety always starts on shore. We do our due diligence. If you're going on a car trip, you make sure you've got gas in your car. You do all those kind of checks before you even set foot in the car. And similarly, when we go out towards the ocean or go on the ocean, we should also do those kind of checks. We should check the National Weather Service here in the United States. For example, just this morning, the National Weather Service issued a high surf advisory for the Bay Area from 10 a.m. Tuesday until 3 p.m. Wednesday. And we're talking about rip currents and sneaker waves, large breaking waves. And the National Weather Service is advising folks to stay off coastal jetties and keep your eyes on your kids and your pets. And, of course, never turn your back on the ocean.
One thing also, Chief, is that, I mean, if you're in the East Bay and you go past Alameda and you can see Coast Guard Island there, and for years you could see the cutters out there, I understand in the last year or two you guys have got rid of that ancient fleet and you've got some really cool new class of cutters coming in because, of course, you know, you have to deal with the threat of piracy and drug dealers and other things, not just rescue. So can you tell us a little bit more about those new class of cutters you guys have?
So you're referring to the national security cutters. We've got four of them at Alameda at Coast Guard Island. The Coast Guard, first of all, is truly a worldwide organization. We've got folks who are stationed in Rotterdam, folks that are stationed in Singapore, from Guam to Puerto Rico, and everything in between. And those national security cutters have gone all the way out across the Pacific and partnered with the Department of Defense and done patrols and goodwill tours along the Western Pacific. And, of course, we also go down near South America and do counter-narcotics, trying to intercept drugs coming in from sea. The Coast Guard, I'm proud to say, typically leads all federal agencies on the interception of narcotics coming into our country. And we're talking about tons and tons and tons of illegal drugs that the Coast Guard intercepts on a regular basis. As I speak to you and your audience today, we have several cutters and Coast Guardsmen out there doing those patrols and standing their watch. And, of course, we have a large presence also in the Caribbean, preventing illegal migration coming into the United States. We really do a lot of missions for the Coast Guard for the entire nation being such a small service.
And Chief Zappala, this relationship between the Pacific Interclub Yachting Association and the U.S. Coast Guard here in the Northern California area is something I'm very familiar, being a delegate of that, of PICYA. And having talked with your captains and rear admirals about the way in which the Coast Guard works with the recreational boating community to help drive down accidental deaths. And what is your viewpoint on that relationship between the Coast Guard and the recreational boating community?
It is absolutely vital, Karen. Anything that we can do to increase safety on the water, anything we can do to prevent search and rescue cases from ever occurring, anything we can do to make folks just safer out there is something that the Coast Guard wants to be a part of. I proudly partner with another local chapter that deals specifically with the board sailing community, windsurfing and kitesurfing. That's very popular here in the Bay Area. It's immensely popular throughout the world. And I'm sure that anyone who's been out at Crissy Field has seen the majesty of those folks that are participating in that sport. And we get quite a few cases that start at Chrissy and other areas where folks get into a little bit of trouble. So anything we can do to increase safety for those folks is something we always want to be a part of.
That's United States Coast Guard Chief Warrant Officer Leo Zappawa. Make sure to watch out for those waves along the coast. Look at them from a distance. And as always, be safe when you're sailing. Don't drink and sail. Chief, thanks for your time. Really appreciate it. Thanks for your service as well.
Thank you, Karen and Rick, for having me.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Karen, one last question here. We have about a minute. What do you do when you're in a, you know, like those kids, you're out there and all of a sudden you get these 30-foot swells? I mean, I know they say go into the waves or go with the waves. Don't go sideways with the waves. But what can you do?
It depends upon the size of your boat and the situation. But basically, usually if you have a boat that's large enough, you're going to go across the wave at a diagonal and try and go into the trough at an angle instead of just straight down with the bow. But I think in the case of the children in the sailing school, they were in very small boats, and those boats can capsize very easily. In fact, learning how to ride a boat after capsizing is part of that. I think the most important thing really is to watch the weather and check NOAA and make sure that you don't go out in unsafe conditions, but that if you find yourself in something that's unexpected, you just pay attention and just do the thing that seems to be the best at the moment.
Karen, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, we'll talk to you then, Rick. Bye-bye.
All right. Check NOAA. Didn't he build an ark? I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back on Sports Byline. We'll be right back.